Good morning, everybody. I don't know if you heard that, maybe Mike mentioned it to you, that Mike was sick yesterday. He's still not feeling the best, but he got that song out. You know, he was kind of all in, so that was kind of fun to see. So kudos, Mike, and the rest of the group. That was a lot of fun. Do we have a PowerPoint? I put it in. Well, that's okay. We'll go without a PowerPoint then. Oh, man. You know, I had this picture of a little girl. So my whole sermon was based on this one picture, so this is going to be fun. There was this little girl who was jumping off of a dock into a lake. And you could see that her hair was still dry. And, you know, she had this great big smile on her face. Hey, there it is. It's that one. You know, and I just thought, so her hair is still dry. Imagine how she was feeling just a few seconds before this picture was taken. You know, her hair is still dry, so she's going to get wet for the first time. And you know that every time you jump into a lake for the first time, it is always cold, right? So there's always just a little bit of hesitation, you know, do I really want to do this? But she goes ahead and she jumps in, you know. But you can see that there's a smile on her face because she knows that she's going to have the time of her life. So there's some anxiety, but man, is this going to be fun. And to me, this is a great picture of being all in. She's jumped off the dock. There's no going back, right? She is all in. And that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about near the end of his first letter to the Christians in Corinth. He's spent a long time talking to them, and now the last chapter, chapter 15, he's been talking about the resurrection. And he encourages the Corinthian congregation to be all in. And what's true of the Corinthian congregation is true of us. God wants us to be all in. And just like this little girl, there's a little bit of hesitation, but we know it's going to be fun. That's the thought that I want us to have as we think about being all in. So this is what the Apostle Paul wrote. He said, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." So always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Be all in. I'm all in. I'm all in on church work. But that's not what the text says. It says not the work of the church, but the work of the Lord. And I'm all in because it's the Lord's work that is the only work that matters. Now, I'm not dismissing the work that we do, you know, going into the office for me or going in for work for you or going to school, you know, working around the house. You know, that work is important, but all of that work only produces temporary benefits, doesn't it? You work at your place of employment, you get a salary, but, you know, you spend it really quick, right? You might accrue vacation time, but then you spend it, right? If you're working at home and you clean the house, guess what? The house gets dirty again. You feed the family, guess what? They're hungry again in not too long a time. All of those benefits are temporary. But the Lord's work is the work that offers eternal benefits and produces something eternal. And why the Apostle Paul encourages us to be all in to the Lord's work, we have to first of all understand what that Lord's work really is. And rather than first of all talking about ourselves, I'd like to talk about the work that Jesus, our Lord, did, the Lord's work in that way. In the other services, we read a gospel lesson from Luke chapter 19. It's the parable of the minas. You know, and especially in our liturgical services, after you finish reading the gospel lesson, you always say, the gospel of the Lord. And Pastor Keel did, you know, and when he finished reading the parable of the minas, and he said, the gospel of the Lord, this is the gospel of the Lord, I just had to smile, because you know how the parable of the minas ends? The parable of the minas has this idea that the king goes away to be crowned, and some people don't want him crowned, and then he comes back, and he settles accounts with his servants. But the last thing in the parable is, and those people who didn't want me to be king, bring them here and kill them in front of me. This is the gospel of the Lord. Isn't that great? Jesus wasn't talking gospel in that gospel lesson. He was saying that anyone who doesn't want to recognize him as king in every way, bring them here and kill them in front of me. We deserve the sentence of death. And who of us doesn't have to admit that? Because even though I can say, you know, what we do is only temporary, there's a part of us that really makes the temporary more important than the eternal. It's really easy to find contentment and safety in our bank accounts or in the security of our workplace, or in how our families are interacting with others, and we take pride in that. This is what it's all about. And it's like, wait a second. All that stuff is temporary. But we so easily get wrapped up in it. And when we do, you know what we're saying is, you know, Jesus, we don't really want you to come back as king, because we want to kind of be our own kings. And so that sentence right at the end of the parable of the minas is really kind of scary, because it's really what Jesus has to say to every one of us. You know, all of you people who didn't really want me to be king over you, bring them here and kill them in front of me. I heard it again this week when I was reading through Ezekiel. Ezekiel 18, it's a frightening chapter, because it says, the soul that sins, it shall die. You see, I face the sentence of death, and so do you. But the Lord's work is really the king saying, I will experience that death in your place. That's what Jesus came to do, right? You know, when we think about his death on the cross, I think very often we focus way too much on the physical suffering and simply the physical death, and we forget that he was the one under God the Father's sentence, bring him and kill him in front of me. That's what happened when he cried out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? What Jesus was experiencing there was not just physical pain and physical death, it was spiritual death, eternal death, as the eternal God separates himself from Jesus. He was stepping into death for you and me. He was stepping underneath that judgment. And because of that, you and I can have this incredible confidence that we'll never die. Now, some of you have just lost loved ones, and that idea that we'll never die seems preposterous. But Jesus was talking to one of his good friends named Martha, who had just lost her brother Lazarus. And Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. You see, the Lord's work is to produce the eternal benefits of forgiveness and eternal life. It produces something eternal. You and I are going to last forever. We are going to live with our Savior forever. This body may die, but it's only temporary. It's going to come back, just like we heard Pastor Bonach talk about last week. That's why the Lord's work is the only thing that matters. Everything is temporary except the Lord's work. And when the Apostle Paul says, be all in, fully give yourself to the work of the Lord, What he's saying is, you and I get to participate in this work of the Lord. You and I get to produce some eternal benefits and produce something eternal as we share the hope that we have with the people around us. And they have this eternal benefit of forgiveness and eternal life. And we produce through Christ something that is eternal. This person who comes to faith and will live with the Savior and with us forever. That's the work of the Lord. That's really the only thing that matters. No, I'm not saying forget about work. But what I'm saying is when you go to work, remember the most important thing you do isn't making widgets or cleaning the house or whatever it is, doing your homework. The most important work you do is the work of the Lord. That was brought home to me by a friend of mine who was talking with me this past week. And we talked about what was happening at his place of work. Northwestern Mutual, many of you know that there is going to be a reduction in force and there have already been layoffs and there are going to be more layoffs. And obviously, my friend is concerned about his employment. But the people around him have recognized that he doesn't seem to be that worried. Because you see, my friend knows that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so he has this hope, even in troubling times. You see, I'm not saying don't go to work, don't go to school, or don't do work around the house. What I'm saying is, the only thing that really makes that work really important is remember that as you're doing it, to do it in a way that brings glory to the God who died for you and rose again, so that the people around you are brought closer to Christ. And then maybe they ask you or they ask some other Christian for the reason for the hope that they have. You see, it's that work of the Lord that's really the only work that matters, right? That matters forever. Are you all in? There's another reason to be all in. Not just that it's the only work that matters, it's the only work that guarantees success. The Apostle Paul said, therefore, you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. How do you know that the labor that you do in the Lord, as you do the Lord's work, no matter what you are doing, that it's never in vain, that it's always going to be successful? It's because of the resurrection. The verse begins with therefore. And as you open up 1 Corinthians 15, this is my homework for you, is to read 1 Corinthians 15 every day for this next week. Just make it a part of you and see that Jesus rose from the dead and you and I are going to rise from the dead. And this is his conclusion. Therefore, because Jesus rose, because you are going to rise, because you are eternal, because Jesus is the King who has conquered death for you, your labor is not in vain. It's guaranteed to us by the resurrection that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is going to be able to accomplish his plan, right? His plan is to save people. He's told us that he has chosen people before the creation of the world to be saved. His plan is going to be carried out. And when you and I participate in the work of the Lord, we are doing work that is guaranteed to be successful. Not only that, but he also promises that his word will accomplish what he desires and achieve the purpose for which he sent it. Isaiah 55. You know, I can't guarantee that you will be successful at work. I cannot guarantee that our church plans are going to be successful. But God does guarantee by Jesus' resurrection that our work for the Lord is never in vain. It will be successful. And so as Paul shared that with the Christians in Corinth, he could have this confidence that they were all in. And I have that confidence for you too, that you are all in. But now what does that all in look like?
This Sunday just happens to be the one Sunday of the year that we talk about our plans for giving. And so I just want to talk about what it means to be all in the area of giving, because that's what the Apostle Paul brings out in the next paragraph. In the next paragraph, he starts to talk about an offering that was being gathered in the first century church. This was an incredibly important offering because it was bridging the gap between Gentile churches in Greece and in Macedonia and the Jewish church in Jerusalem. It was an offering that the Macedonians and the Greeks were gathering for the poverty-stricken Christians in Jerusalem. And it would bind the congregations together. And because their work of the Lord was never going to be in vain, he could speak to them about how should we carry out this giving. Let's read it together. He says, "Now about the collection for the Lord's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made." So on the first day of every week, the idea of regular giving, each one of you, you see, each one of us in that parable of the mina in Luke chapter 19, that every person in that parable received a mina. Each one of us has the responsibility to do the work of the Lord. Each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. There's this idea of proportionate. And then he even brings in this idea that we make plans. He wanted the Christians there in Corinth to plan ahead so that they could be all in when he arrived to take this offering to the Christians in Jerusalem. So, what does it mean to be all in? You know, what it means to be all in is different for every one of us. I love the picture of the ladder, the giving ladder, that brings out the whole idea of being all in at different stages in your life. You know, for some people, being all in is saying, "I've never really thought about supporting the Lord's work. I'm going to start giving for the first time." And that might be pretty scary. Because, after all, nobody has extra money just lying around. How will you be able to do that? But you're all in. And you start. Many of you have given once in a while, but you've really never thought about giving regularly. So maybe that idea is your next step up the giving ladder. And if that's the case for you, there's a tool that I think a lot of us Christians have found helpful. If you haven't used it already, it's online giving. You know, we're all in. We know that the Lord's work is the work that really matters. We're all in, and yet it's easy to kind of forget. You know, we don't bring any money along. Why not go online? Many of us do all of our banking online. Giving online is such an easy way to make sure that it's regular. Many of you already do that, giving regularly in one way or the other. But you know, you've never really thought about what portion of what God has entrusted to you that you're giving back to the Lord. And that would be the next step for you if you're all in. You know, if you're all in, do the math. What are you giving? What has God entrusted to you? And what percentage of your income are given to the Lord? And if you've never figured it out before, I can almost guarantee you're going to be disappointed, because the number isn't going to be very high, probably. And so maybe the all in is just saying, "Okay, Lord, I'm at 2%. But I don't think that's really what you want me to be all in." And so maybe the next step is to go up to 3%. Or maybe 5%. Or maybe some of you have been giving thought about giving in proportion to what the Lord has given you. But you really haven't thought about that this is the most important work that we could ever do. And maybe your next step is to start to think, maybe I can get up to that 10% that God commanded His Old Testament people to give. Certainly I'm more wealthy than God's Old Testament people. Maybe I can get that 10%. Or maybe, you know, you can get up to 15%. And I can tell you, this is getting kind of scary. You know, I don't like heights. And when you are giving beyond where you feel comfortable, when you are taking the next step, I can guarantee you that it is a frightening experience. Kind of like that little girl who's kind of dreading getting wet. You know, how's this all going to work out? That's a great time to remember this promise that God gave through Malachi in Malachi chapter 3. Let's read it together. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Test me. Trust me. Trust that God, as you generously give more than you think you can give, that God is able to provide the daily bread that you need. And when you get up this high, it's kind of fun. You know, it's a lot of fun to watch some of you squirm. You know, you're getting a little nervous there. It's pretty high up there. But I can tell you that as you go up the giving ladder, it is fun. It's fun to think, you know, these Christian leaders that we are training for the future, that sang for us here from Wisconsin Lutheran High School, that you and I are part of that, right? It's fun to think about that. Just a few minutes ago at the 10:45 service, there were dozens and dozens of little kids, the 3 and 4K, singing. It's kind of fun to think, you know, we're a part of that. That God's using us to help these kids get closer to Jesus and their parents too. I can tell you it was incredibly fun to be in Shanghai, to crowd together in a hotel room with 30 of us, and that there were 4 people there who were connected to St. Paul's, who knew the Lord. And we were a part of it. You see, it's incredibly fun, just like that little girl jumping into the lake. It's frightening, and yet there's nothing better, because this is the work that really matters, that lasts forever. You know, we as a congregation are just at the start stage where we're starting to have some fun planning for the future. We're already starting to think about what is the next fiscal year going to bring. And there's some interesting thoughts that we have. And I don't have time to talk about them. There are more information in the package that will be mailed to you this week. But I want to let you know that if we're going to have as much fun as we can possibly have as a congregation, we need to know what it means for you to be all in. You see, because for us as a congregation to be all in, we have to have some idea of what God is going to entrust to us. Otherwise, we might be afraid and do less than what we could do. Can you share what your all-in plan looks like for you in 2017? And as hundreds of us guess what that all-in plan will look like, that we as a congregation can be all in and do as much of the Lord's work as we possibly can. Because the Lord's work is the only thing that matters. It's my privilege to tell you that the ministry team, ministerial team, they're all in. The ministry board, your elected leaders, they are all in. How about you? Let's pray. Lord God, it's scary up here. As we step up, try to do more of your work as a church and as individuals, we're stretched beyond our comfort zone. We get to see more clearly how there are parts of our lives that really aren't willing to be submitted to you as King. That we trust sometimes in these things. We find greater joy in these temporary things rather than the eternal. Lord, thank you so much for doing your work, taking our death upon yourself. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins that every one of us can claim through you. And it says, you're forgiven, children, that we claim your promise that you will provide for our needs as we joyfully and generously give back to you. And today we make this commitment that, Lord, we're all in. You are all in for us. We're all in for you. Use us, Lord, to do your work, the work that really matters. Amen.